Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, wrapping up an interesting discussion last few shows about the reality that we need a good estate planning for this life as opposed to just when we pass away, because many of us will face a disability or some kind of infirmity for who knows how long, and we need to have proper estate planning in place.
Yeah, it's very true. There is a unfortunate high probability that if you are 65 or older, that you will face some type of disability. And now, for me, in our conversation, what I've meant by disability is, for one reason or another, you need help. You need someone else to stand next to you and assist you, whether that is with a financial decision or financial assistance, accessing accounts, paying bills, helping you with communication to your financial advisor. One reason or another, you need help from somebody with your finances. And or what we're going to be talking about today is you need help in making a medical decision. So you can't make a medical decision. A doctor doesn't believe that you're appreciating the nature of the decision that needs to be made. And so we've talked pretty thoroughly about the financial aspects of what does estate planning do? How does a trust work? How does a financial power of attorney work? You can go to our website, legacyandfaith.com, and you can find those past podcasts with this series. You can find them there. So we've talked a lot about the financial aspects. So we're going to shift today, and we're going to talk about what other documents are needed, because this is such an important topic. There is a higher probability than not that you're going to need to empower someone to help you financially and or with medical decisions. And these decisions really need to be looked at through the legal perspective of, does the individual helping you have the power to make the decision, and how smooth of a transition will it be for them? So again, we've talked about the financial. I prefer to use trusts. They are a faster, more smooth instrument in allowing someone to gain power over your assets, accessibility to checking accounts versus a financial power of attorney. But last show, we also talked about that even if you have a trust, you still need a properly designed financial power of attorney. Now, if you don't use a revocable living trust and you use a will, then you rely solely upon that financial power of attorney. There's a few traps, I think, with using just that instrument, but it is certainly necessary.
But it's better than
nothing. It is, and that's exactly where I was going, which is it is certainly necessary, because even if there are delays, we still need to have someone who can have access to your accounts. So therefore, some planning is always better than no planning. Having some structure of a financial power attorney versus a more fluid estate plan through a revocable living trust, then brokered with that financial power of attorney. That is, in my opinion, a better scenario, but something is still better than nothing. Absolutely, I'm on board with that. Yeah. So that's kind of where we've been with what we've talked about, finances. So now we got to kind of turn our attention
before
elsewhere.
Before we started recording, you said you have some interesting statistics about the realities that people will face disability.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like to look through these things.
You one of those guys that reads the obituaries every week?
No, absolutely not. Not quite that. I like to read statistics, and I like to read the law. I know, okay. Completely crazy. If you look at the Word of God, it's just – there's a lot of legal stuff in there. So whether it's the Bible or whether it's the actual law, I love reading it. I'm looking at actually the federal government. It's called longtermcare.gov. So I head over there. It's a great resource. It'll give you a lot of these things that I'm going to be talking about. Right now, it says that if you've turned 65, you have about a 70% chance of needing some type of long-term care service. Now, that's not just assistance. This is specifically dealing with long-term care. Mm-hmm. So you're going to need help one way or another, 75% or more chance that you need help,
wow,
which will be the documents that we create together. Long-term care. Now, this is being very specific. Almost a 70% chance that you will need some type of long-term care assistance. That means in a different facility for more than 60 days. That's long-term care. Mm. So think about that statistic if you're 65 or older. And so we come back to the importance of ensuring that your estate plan is rock solid and not just a template, not just the cheap, I can find it on the internet or I'll just find the cheapest attorney. You really want to play with a 70%+ chance that that document is going to meet your needs. Not me personally. So, we talk a lot about the next generation and planning financial wealth transfer. Heck, this is just self-preservation, people. So if I can't get you to move because you don't have, quote unquote, a lot of money, well, this is simple self-preservation. This is for you and you alone. This is how I protect clients each and every day, is to make sure that their trust and their financial power of attorney are going to meet this statistic, which is more than 60 days. Mm. And you've actually mentioned it before, Mark, which is sometimes you need longer care, and a disability can last longer than just the incident.
Yeah.
And so is your power document, so a trust, financial power of attorney, can that even be adjusted with new laws and new necessities? Or is it a stagnant document most of them I see cannot be changed? A real difficulty if indeed you fall under this type of need, which is almost 70% need something that long. That
wow.
That's really quite amazing. But here's the problem, which is according to AARP, which I keep getting mail from, which I'm very disappointed about. I don't know what
the wrong box.
I don't know. They've got me on their stuff, so that I'm a little discouraged about that. So how many people they've done a study? A couple thousand people surveyed, so not a massive statistic. As a matter of fact, when you look at statistics, you have to kind of see how many people were ever surveyed. This is a smaller survey, but millennials, so the younger generation, let me see if I can read this right. If you're 72 or older, 80%+ say they have something in place already. So that's good.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, that's what I see in my law office, is when someone retires in their 60s-ish into their younger 70s, it is a big cue to come in and deal with your estate plan. So now you need one before that, and I'm going to tell you why. But that's a pretty good, healthy number, but 41% of millennials have something. So that's a pretty big gap right there. Why people don't do it? Number one, almost 50% say, I've just procrastinated. So stop it. Stop saying that you just haven't done it. Get to legacyandfaith.com. Let's get this moving. I know it's not fun, but I tell you, one of the biggest things that clients say when we actually get all of this work done, because it's some work. You got to pay for it, and then I make you work.
It is quite a bit. When you talk about preparing a trust, it's quite involved to get everything into the trust.
It really is. It's not just meeting.
No, yeah, it's weeks, months.
It takes effort. Mm-hmm. And so not only do you pay me, but I give you homework and then I force you into meetings. But one of the biggest things that I hear is when people finally sign this and we're starting to move assets is, I'm so glad. Mm. I feel so much more peace. So procrastination, put it to the side. Procrastinate the procrastination. Don't procrastinate with estate planning. And so that's half of the people. And then a lot of people think mentality-wise, I just don't have enough money to do this. You know, Paul, I've got maybe a home and I didn't do really well financially. I've got a little bit of retirement and just a little bit of money, or my bank account goes up and down. But that negates that you may potentially need help at some time with health decisions, and you need to empower others. Even if you have a smaller bank account, what if we can't get to it? So what legal documents do we have to access the amount that you do have? And how do we take care of you as a person? So money is not the issue. You are the issue. You are your most valuable asset. So does everybody need to spend the additional funds for a trust? No, I'm not so blind and so pigeonholed that is true. But you need to have something to protect yourself. And so
And a well-prepared will can be a lot, get you a lot farther down the road than nothing at all.
Absolutely. And then, of course, it's going to come with the financial power of attorney, the medical directives. So it's critical that you have something around you. So even if you don't have enough, whatever that means to you, even if you do not feel that there is much in your bank account, you still need it. And here's the other thing. If you look at younger individuals, they don't do it at all. So if you're 18 and you have a health issue, a mental health episode, and you need someone else to stand next to you, mom or dad screaming, "This is my child," is not going to be enough. And so even if you're in your 20s or 30s, you start starting families, you have minor children. Well, if the unthinkable happens, who's going to be the guardian of those kids? So now the stakes are higher. And then in your 40s, you actually start making some money. And that age group, they only have the statistics are better, but they're still not great. And in your 50s, but finally, when you get into your 60s, they start making more sense. It's well over 50%. So statistically, not as many people are taking advantage of having a good estate plan, but everyone needs it because you can have a health incident at any age. You don't have to be in your 60s and 70s and 80s to have a health incident. So
my dad had a stroke at 59.
Yeah.
And
yes,
and he lived another 25 years.
Right. And so and unfortunately, our eating habits and the processed foods, we could get into many different topics of why someone in their 40s is typically not as healthy as what they used to be. So therefore, every age group along the spectrum, if you're an adult, quote unquote, 18 or over, there's college packages. We got to get minor children taken care of, and the list goes on. So statistically, most people still haven't done it. Proud of y'all if you're 70 and older and you have something. But my pushback would be, when's the last time you had it reviewed? And is it really the proper document that you need? I don't know until I take a look at it, and that can happen as well.
Proper estate planning for facing that disability that you have a very good chance of experiencing before you die And Paul would like to help you with your estate. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Yeah, I would really like to step alongside of you for making sure that this is all wrapped up properly. And so head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us can all be found at legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's Legacy and Faith.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at facing a disability in this life and having the right estate plan in place.
Yep.
And kind of winding this up, Paul, you wanted to talk about maybe a few other documents we need to have.
Yeah, I've talked a lot about revocable living trust, financial power of attorney, making sure that you are well taken care of to have those bills paid, finances accessible. We haven't mentioned quite yet healthcare power of attorney. We've kind of danced around it, and I think it's an intuitive document for most people to have in a will package. What I've seen in templated documents is that a lot of templated documents have the financial power of attorney and the healthcare power of attorney all in one. Boy, I can't tell you how much I hate that. Mm. These are different statutes. You may need to take control over someone's finances far sooner than what you actually need to help them with their medical. And as a matter of fact, a medical power of attorney is a very different creature compared to a financial power of attorney. So the financial power of attorney is if someone is not making good financial decisions, a doctor may be more willing to go ahead and make sure that those are properly dealt with. So they may deem somebody incapacitated. And what that will really protect against is somebody signing an errant contract. I've had people try to go buy cars and they were incapacitated. So we can get you out of that. Or other long-term contracts. So had one client who wanted to get a hair transplant at the age of 82, but he was not thinking well. And so we were able to get him out of that contract, and it all revolved around not having mental capacity, because you need mental capacity to sign a contract. So having the financial power of attorney invoked or empowered is oftentimes a step that is taken sooner than later and actually causes some of the greater concerns. Now, with a medical power of attorney, from my understanding, and I've talked to many doctors about this, but I am not an MD doctor, so that the medical profession is very driven to include the patient in the conversation. So even if they have been showing signs of memory loss, even if they have a health incident, if they are able to communicate, their objective is to keep that person involved in the conversation as long as possible. So the medical power of attorney is a document that's kind of waiting in the background so that if a doctor ever determines this person really isn't appreciating the nature of this decision that we have to make together, or if the family wants to deviate from the plan that the doctor is suggesting that they believe is in the best interest of the patient, or here's one that maybe more common, but maybe you don't think about, which is what if you wanted to check a loved one out of the hospital because it is their desire to die at home instead of in a hospital? So that would be the power to actually go against doctor's orders and check someone out of the hospital, take them home, and maybe put some people around them so that they can die at home instead of in the hospital. They would probably be looking at you and say, well, we need to understand the power that you have to make that decision, because that would not be what we would advise. Mm. So the medical power of attorney is a document that would then allow someone to communicate with doctors, have access to medical records. That could be very important. Yeah. And then also make decisions that are not what a doctor recommends. So if you run into the situation to where you're going to push back on the doctor decision and say, we want to move in a different direction, then that's where the likelihood that you're going to be requested to show that you have the power, the doctors want to be protected, and rightfully so, right? And so therefore, they're going to want to have that power instrument, that medical power of attorney, to show that you can actually make these decisions against what they are suggesting. Again, if everyone in the family is saying, yes, this is what we want to do, they may never ask you for the medical power of attorney, because everyone is still on board moving in the same direction. It's really at the moment that that you put the stop sign up and say, we want to move in a different direction. So that's the medical power of attorney. Now, in Washington State, there's another document that we produce. Actually, I have not seen it produced by anyone else, which is a mental health power of attorney. Washington State has a separate statute that deals with mental health. That is different than the medical power of attorney. And so mental health are the two areas of our life that we can't see. It's when our thought life is not well managed, or our emotional life is not able to be well managed. I can't see your thoughts. So, I can't see your emotions.
But like Alzheimer's or some kind of memory issue, that would be considered a health issue. That's not a mental health
issue.
Well,
it could be considered both, actually, it is dealing with the deterioration of your brain. So that's a health – that is a physical issue, but it is causing a disconnect between thoughts, an unseen issue. So and the mental health statute then would give you power. Here's one of the greatest powers it gives, which is a 14-day ability to do a self-check-in. That's really important, because if somebody is having a mental health episode and it is determined that they are not able to control themselves, they may be checked into an institution against their will. You lose a lot of power over that decision. But if you have a mental health power of attorney and it appropriately gives you a 14-day window, you could step in and say, we willingly check in this person. That keeps options open to get them under control and stable, then to determine what the best course of action is. So I believe that a mental health power of attorney, completely different statute, has a very strong authority given, specifically that 14-day self-check-in to help someone, instead of them being deemed to be out of control and not be able to make their own healthcare decisions. Then we have a HIPAA authorization. This is one document in my system that is immediately turned on. And so therefore, what that means is that if you name someone, such as a spouse or an adult child, they could take that document and immediately go get your medical records. I think that's important, because we may need medical records to make a better determination of what health issue we are facing. But if that HIPAA authorization, which, by the way, is the most common thing I find, again, I don't like it when you use one document, there's HIPAA authorization in the power of attorney, but you need to be deemed disabled to turn on the power of attorney. If you're not deemed disabled and it's all one document, then you can't get to the healthcare instructions and you can't get to the medical records. So I think it's a disconnect in most estate planning that I see. I use a standalone document for HIPAA authorization so that medical records can be received at any time. Then the last document that we use, which is a end of life document, it's also known as a living document. Some people call it a durable, but that really relates back to the financial power of attorney. And this is if you are incurable, permanently unconscious, death is imminent, what do you want done? So do you want to remain on life support? And I ask clients, if these things are true, two doctors have said that you have an incurable injury, disease, or illness, that you are permanently disabled, and death is imminent, how long do you want to remain on life support? For how many days, weeks, months, years, or centuries do you want to remain on life support? And so what we're trying to do is empower you over your body should you ever encounter this and take off the decision-making of that end-of-life decision from someone else. If there is a document that is specifically designed, that is well-designed with the type of care that you want, then we can point to the document and it alleviates any sense of guilt, pressure, emotional, over-emotional decisions. It's going to be an emotional decision, but at least your voice has been heard and it is clearly seen by everybody. Really important document. These are the things that are necessary in the healthcare arena. And so this is what I mean by everyone needs to do estate planning, because these are your self-care documents, regardless of how much money you have. We need to do good estate planning and we need to do it right.
Facing that disability with good estate planning, you want to be prepared. Kind of a difficult discussion today, but it's better to be prepared than not. People want to find out more about your services. Paul, how do they get in touch with you?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it can all be found at legacyandfaith.com.
It's the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.